Welcome to Go Pro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional by Eric Wharton. You are now listening to CD6, which is titled, Getting People Started Right.
All right. Now, in this session, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about, very briefly, I'm going to talk about presentation. I'm not going to talk in detail about that. That's its own workshop, how to present. And in this session, we're going to be talking about presenting in the form of how you're going to be using third-party tools, events, etc., in order to be able to get a presentation to happen properly, utilizing those third-party tools. In the future, at some point, I will do a class on how to present, how to become a world-class presenter in your own skill and your own personality, etc. I'm still learning how to do that myself, but how to communicate with people, how to connect with people, how to transfer belief to people, how to structure something in a way that makes sense. My short course on that is what I did is I copied the best people I knew word for word. I audio taped them, and then I transcribed their words word for word, their stories, their everything, and then I just did exactly what they did. First, I recorded myself into a recording device, audio cassette boombox at the time. Can't find those anymore, even play my old audio cassettes. I miss my audio cassettes. Does anybody else miss audio cassettes? I miss my audio cassettes. The CDs just aren't the same. I know they're better quality, but they don't stop where you stop. You have to start over, all this stuff. Anyway, I'm old. It's sad. It's so sad. The amount of technology you can go through in one life is amazing. But I recorded my own voice doing the presentation into a boombox. I listened to it, and I was just scared to death. Oh, my gosh, that's how I sound. It's terrible. And then I recorded myself again and again and again until it sounded okay. And I found out I had to put lots more energy in than I thought just to sound what I thought would be normal. I had to smile when I was talking for it to sound okay on the audio. Really. And then you know what I did? I wore it out in my car. I listened to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until I could do it in my sleep. Tell us about the products. Got it. Tell us about the compensation plan. Got it. Tell us about the timing. Got it. Tell us about the support. Got it. Tell us about the company. Got it. Where do you want me to start? Which sentence? I got it, man. It's a little one-man play. I had it down, my monologue. I had it down. That's what I did. And I repeated the same jokes and the same pauses and the same everything. And then I slowly scrubbed out other people's personality and I added my own. It became me over time. That was how I did it. Other people say, be yourself. And I said, I don't know how to be myself. I don't know what myself is. You know what I mean? Be yourself. Be yourself. Well, myself is not attracting anybody. The other self is attracting everybody. The other person. So I want to be that person right now, and I'll add my personality later. So, truly, that's what I did. It's just like, okay, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to do that presentation. I'm going to pause and do the jokes, and if people look at me funny, we'll all look at me funny, but the prospects won't because they won't know the difference, and I'll get the results. And then slowly I developed a style of my own and a signature of my own, and my kind of laid-back style is different than other people's style. And you know what I mean? I found my way. Found a way to joke around, you know, without planning it, just, you know, playing with you guys, which is fun. So presentation. All I will tell you with presentation is until you're a high-ranking person, you need to be focused using third-party as much as you possibly can. If you're going to do a little in-home meeting, use a third-party tool. If you're going to do a little one-on-one or two-on-one or whatever, and you're presenting, your job is not to give facts, it's to bring enthusiasm. Is to be that ambassador, to be smiling and excited. You don't need to be the expert at everything. Third party. Does that make sense? So in any presentation, I'm gonna counsel you against you being the fact giver, no matter how much that's in your culture at the moment. Focus on third party. It's the only thing that'll set you free. If you want to get the big money. If you want to get the little money, hey, first party your brains out. Knock yourself out. That's a choice people like to make. It's okay. I mean, direct sales, heavily, sometimes direct sales can be a personality-driven thing. The smartest direct salespeople learn to do direct sales of a product or service with third-party tools, and then the next person can see how they can do it themselves, and down the road we go. So, next thing, opening people. We don't really close people. We open people to a new way of thinking. We open people to a new way of life. Closing is just the opposite. You know, car salespeople close somebody. We open a relationship with somebody. But what I see amateurs do too much is they're way too passive at the point when the person who's looking at your business, you know what they want at the end of the exposure? Guidance. Direction. What's next? You know what they don't want? What did you think? I think it was whatever, okay. I think it was great. I think I'm confused. They're not looking for open-ended question asking you to do some critical thinking. They're looking for an assignment. They're looking for a way to quickly and easily and comfortably get yourself to the place where they can guide themselves toward a decision, yes or no, or not yet. That's it. Those are your three results at the end. Yes, no, or not yet. One of my favorites at the end of a presentation is to say, did it make sense to you? Did it make sense? Yes, it made sense. Anything else you need to know before we get started? Well, I'd like to try this or da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Whatever. That's one basic approach, which is, did it make sense? You ready to go? All right, the next step is, here's the application, here's what we would do with this, and let me explain what the process would look like, and let me explain how you would get trained as we get started, and let me explain this whole process and how it would work. Let me explain that to you. Explain it to them, and let them know the next step would be to get together in the next 24 hours so we can go through a little bit of a game plan and we can explain how exactly we're going to do this. And you got to go with the exact culture of whatever you have in your organization, how you promote whatever the getting started process is, the fast start training process is, the whatever. Everybody's got a little bit of a different process. But the point is, the next step is this. The next thing we need to do is this. Regardless, we need to make sure that you're using the product. So here's what we would do to do that. You do want to use the product, yeah? Okay, here's how we would do that. See what I'm saying? Assignment driven. The next thing we need to do is this. Guidance, direction, help. I will tell you for me, sorry, I'm the audio guy. I gotta undo this tie a little bit, if I can, without messing up the microphone. Does that still work? I'm okay? Okay. For me, I will tell you, I'm not a big guy. I'm gonna recruit one a month. That's not my thing. You might as well just shoot me in the head. I am not interested in that as a mindset. This is just me, my personality talking. I recruit in bunches. I get in recruiting mode. I recruit in bunches. I go into a major blast type of a posture. I'll talk about that in a second. And then I'll recruit 10 or 20 in a 90-day period of time and just get a lot of energy. Pop, 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 pop. And then I'll support that group. And then I'll gear up again. Okay, we're in recruiting mode. bang, 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 bang. Because I think a little different when you're, it's a different mindset. You know what I'm saying? Some of you know what I'm saying. But when I'm in recruiting mode, I use a four-question process at the end of the presentation. Some of you will know this. It's been in some of the classes I've done before. Question number one, based upon what you saw, about how much time or how much money would you need to earn per month in order to be able to make this worth your time? Get the answer to that? Based upon what you've just viewed, realistically, about how much money would you need to earn per month in order to make this worth your time? I get the answer. $2,000. Fantastic. About how many hours a week would you be willing to commit in order to be able to develop that $2,000 a month income? About how many hours a week would you be willing to commit in order to develop that type of an income? Shorthand is how much you need to earn per month or how much per month. Second one is hours per week. Third question, and let's say they say 10 hours. I'll work 10 hours a week for that $2,000 a month. Great. How many months would you be willing to work the 10 hours a week in order to be able to develop that income? I'd give you 6 months. Fantastic. So, if I can show you, number four, if I can show you how to develop $2,000 monthly income working about 10 hours a week over the course of the next 6 months, and you can develop an income like that, would you be ready to get going? If I can give you what you want in my model, would you be ready to get going? And then you just got to be able to sketch out in the compensation plan how they would do that in the hours that you have, in the system that you have, in the process that you have. And if you can't, if it's too much, then you need to be honest with them and say, you know, they say, I want to earn $50,000 a month and I want to work 12 hours a week and I'll give you 3 months. You got to say, well, look, you got to change one of the numbers. You want to make $50,000 a month. If you're willing to work 100 hours a week for 50 months, maybe we can talk about it. But you can't just, you know, where else are you going to get this? Are we competing against somebody else that's offering you the same $50,000 with 12 hours a week over the course of the next 90 days? I mean, come on. Let's adjust here a little bit. Here's what I can show you how to do. Here's what I can show you how not to do. But what this does is it allows the other person the opportunity to set their own, what their own wishes are. Because you know what? You might talk to somebody and they're very successful. And you're thinking that they're going to want what they're making now in a part-time business. So let's say that you think they're making $20,000 a month. So you're talking $20,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $20,000, $20,000. And that's what you're planting because that's what you think. But really what they want is to pay for their kids' college, and that's $2,000 a month. That's really what they want. Because they got their business as everything else that they're taking care of, and they're only looking for $2,000. So let them tell you what they're looking for, then set the hours and then set the months, and then just say, if I can show you how to do that, you're ready to go. Yeah. Or no. Or not now. And if it's yes, then you get them going, fill out the application, get them going, and schedule the next exposure. If it's not now, schedule the next exposure. Get that next one to happen. You know, what would help you make a decision? Well, I want to try the products. What would help you make a decision? I got to talk to my spouse. Well, what would help you make a decision? Well, I need to look at this stuff. You see what I'm saying? I do want to go back and talk about one really important thing really quickly before I go farther and talk about how to get a person started right. Nope, I'm going to do it in this section. Never mind. I'll do it in the Getting Started Right section itself. In the prospecting piece, the big part of it is how do you do this? How do you manage your time? How do you figure it all out? And I'm going to teach you in this section how to get a new person started, right? The key to getting them some quick success. And that's the first thing I want to give you. First concept in getting a person started right. So we talked about presenting. We talked about opening up a person, helping them. It's exposure to exposure. Don't worry about closing. Don't worry about, you know, help guide a person, counsel a person, be a friend through the process, help them with the next step, and then they'll get involved. As long as you put those exposures close enough together, they'll go ahead and make the decision. Don't make them have to ask you. Some of you had to ask the person that signed you up, so how do I do this? I'm ready to go. Right? Anybody in this room had to do that? Had to guide your sponsor? All right, some of you, not a lot, but some of you. Help them and guide them through the process. Now, once they've made the decision, once Ron joins, congratulations, Ron. Is it over? Is it just done? He's joined now, so I'm sure he's going to be a success. Not even close. He is so fragile. He is so fragile. He's so filled with fear and buyer's remorse and did I do the right thing? And oh my gosh, what did I do? And he took on his way home, even though we told him not to, he called his best friend and spilled his guts to his best friend. And his best friend said, what? You did what? Oh my God, his best friend's still laughing. He hangs up the phone. He's still hearing his best friend laughing in his ears. He's getting home. Talks to his spouse. The spouse says, please, again, please. You're on your own this time, buddy. By the time you call him, you wonder why he sounds a little distant. He's been messed up. His brain's been scrambled, right? So what did we talk about earlier with you getting started? The biggest thing I've got to do with Ron is what? Set expectations. Set his expectations. Ron, people are going to look at you funny. Ron, 95% of people are going the other way. Ron, this is a 1, 3, 5, 7 year plan. It's not overnight. Most of the people know you best are going to be the ones that question you most. It's okay. It's all part of the process. You will get through this together. And we're going to develop you a nice business that's going to grow around the world and provide you freedom. Remember why we're doing this, Ron? Freedom, 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 freedom from this machine that's broken. If not this, where are we going to go? Back to a job, which is the new riskiest place in the world to be. Going to start another business that's going to cost more than this and we have to do things we don't know how to do. Go into sales. Stay in a coma, hope for things to change. Put your head in the sand and say, gosh, I hope the economy turns around. I hope the bailout shows up at my door. Anybody in here get any bailout money?
No.
Wow, how'd that happen? Guess what, guys? It ain't coming. We're the bailout. We're our own bailout. We're our own Santa Claus. We're there to take care of our families. And let everybody else panic later. We'll panic now and get out of that machine that's broken. We won't walk away, but we will slide away with smiles on our faces. Now, if I've given up those expectations to Ron, now going home's not a problem. When his friends laugh and he say, you know what, I heard about you. I heard there was going to be somebody going to laugh that I didn't expect was going to laugh. I didn't think it'd be you. When your spouse says, what? You just say, you know what, honey, I love you so much. I understand the fact that maybe, you know, I haven't followed through on other things in my life, but I've made a different decision now. And I want better for you. And I want better for our family. And we're going to do it together. And I want you to understand fully what I do and why I'm doing it. So let's take a look. It's not a deal, and it's not a project, and it's not a scheme. It's going to be a profession for me, starting today. And I'm starting without a lot of skill. And you know what? I could use all the support I can get, because it's already an emotional decision for me. But I realized I can't stay where I've been and be the man that you need me to be. Can't do it. So are you with me? Let's go take a look at this. I want you to understand it. Honey, if I pop in a DVD... will you watch it with me? Isn't that better than saying, hey, I signed up for something, deal with it? See what I'm saying? I'm talking about real stuff here. I'm not talking about, you know, some chain letter. You know what I mean? I'm talking about real stuff. So, getting started. The first thing is expectations. The first thing. You have to prepare them for what they're about to go and get themselves into. Let them know it's okay and it's natural. They're all stuck in the matrix. You're not. You're the first one to look at the world differently. It's going to take a little bit. Second concept. Small victories. Small victories, fast. There's a timer connected to Ron as soon as he joins. And it's got about 7 days. And if something doesn't occur in the first 7 days, it's over. Something positive. His spouse says, you know what? I'm with you. Small victory. One person goes and he shares the product with some people. He gets one customer that says, yeah, all right. Small victory. He goes to a meeting and he meets someone. And he hears their story. Just the fact that he's at the meeting. Small victory. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? It's not about building a huge group in the first 7 days. It's little victories. It's little achievements. It's little milestones. He proclaims himself to the world. Huge victory. Right? He uses the product or service himself and goes, wow. This is amazing. Victory. Your job as a sponsor is to help foster the small victories as quickly as you can, and you don't have time. Expectations and small victories. This is the biggest concept I can give you, the one I'm about to give you when it comes to getting people started. It's called over the line. Over the line. Here's what I mean by this. Everyone in here has a line where on this side of the line, it's easier to quit and just walk away. Chalk it up, there's another mistake, lost a few dollars, move forward. But when they get on this side of the line, it's harder to quit emotionally. It's harder to quit than it is to stay. It's easier to stay emotionally. Over the line. Such a critical concept. Your job is to help, my job is to help Ron get over the line and get to a place where it's harder for him to quit than to stay. Now, when he starts, which side of the line is he on? Easier to quit. He could still cancel on the credit card. There's all kinds of outs. But what are some of the things that would help a person get over the line in the positive sense? Give me some examples.
Sponsoring someone.
An event would help them get over the line. A product experience would help them get over the line. Friendship. Yeah. A proclamation. If he proclaims himself to the world, I'm doing this or I'm going to die trying. They're going to find me waving from the top or dead on the side of the road. I'm not coming back. Income, money.
Recognition.
Personal growth. Rank advancement. Move up in the ranks. They become known. They become known in the area as that person who's done something or knows everybody. Those are some examples, yeah? But can you think about this? And I will tell you, this line never goes away. You can get somebody to rank advance and they can still find their way to the other side of that line. You can get somebody to get a check and they can still find their way to the other side of the line. You can get somebody who gets their feelings hurt making $100,000 a year and they can find their way to the other side of the line. So understand it's the relationships and it's our job to help them. So Ron, come here for a moment. Imagine if the line is in the middle of this room and my job is to make sure that this line, he stays on that side of the line. So he just starts getting depressed, he starts getting discouraged, he starts to slide. My job is to pay attention enough to say, no. Let me remind you again. Why we're doing this and why we're doing that. And here's some stuff. And you know, look, no, we can do this. We can make this happen. And you know what? At the very beginning, I'm going to have to be like this for a while. I'm going to have to lean up against Ron right on that line and be his friend and remind him why he's doing this in the first place. And then eventually, after he gets a little bit of success, he's got a little bit of a group, he's focused. Once he gets the down line, then what? Now he's got responsibilities. He's got a family to take care of. Right? So now I can just every once in a while just touch, encourage, move him a little bit farther. Then I can go do other things. I come back, I can touch, go do other things. And then pretty soon, after 6 months, I can just touch. Do other things, touch, do other things, he's good. But if I will tell you, no matter how high the leader is, if I don't touch every once in a while, he's coming this way. No matter how much money they're making. Really? $100,000 a year, you think that protects somebody from getting over the line? Nope. You don't know who's whispering in their ear. You don't know what's going on or some competitor is telling lies or whatever. You don't know. If you don't pay attention as a leader, your job is to get them over the line and keep them over the line. Thanks, Ron. Give them a round of applause for helping out, would you? So is this making sense? The concept, the idea is setting expectations, small victories fast, and then over the line. That's it. That's the focus. That's what we do. We get them over, we keep them over. And then we move some more over, and we keep them over. That's our job, telling people, here's why we're doing this, here's why we're doing this, here's why we're doing this, here's why we're doing this. And never assume that someone is 100%. Oh, they're sold out. You never have to worry about them. Worry about them. They don't need recognition. They're not the type. Recognize those people even more. Promise. Now, when you're starting a brand new person, I'm going to give you an interesting analogy. I think it's accurate. When you start a brand new person, you sponsor somebody brand new, it's like you've been given a newborn baby. Like a little preemie. They're born at 7 months. And as your little baby, How independent are they? And as a preemie, how at risk are they? What do they have to do with most preemie babies in order for them to be able to survive? An incubator. What does the incubator do? Keeps them warm? Anything else that it does? It protects them. It creates a comfortable environment for them to survive. That's what we do. Our culture is creates an incubator, truly, that keeps them warm, keeps them breathing, keeps them alive, keeps them in the game, but they're unbelievably fragile. Personal development is an incubator. It's been said, and I think it's true, network marketing is the best incubator for personal growth in all of business worldwide. Creates an environment that fosters life. So, how much care and attention does a newborn baby need? A lot. What if they are a newborn baby that was a chief marketing officer for a Fortune 400 company? Still takes a lot, huh? What I'm saying is the babies that join your business, regardless of their background, are still babies in our business. If they've had success before, they're still a baby in our business. If they've owned their own business before, they're still a baby in our business. And they're still just as fragile. Maybe even more fragile because they have ego and pride on the line. So they'll disguise you. They'll say, you know what? I'm a self-starter. I'm good. I've lost more preemie babies to those that have sold me the story that I'm a self-starter. I'm good. I got this. No problem. I'm self-motivated. Watch my smoke. I'll call you in a week. I'm good. In a week, they're gone. Where'd they go? You're a self-starter. I thought for sure. Somebody said boo. Somebody with a bad cough opened up the incubator and breathed into it. Wow. Closed it back up. And the baby choked on it. Telling you. Some of my examples are more elaborate than others, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. How much sleep do you get when you have a brand new baby? Not a lot. You're going, when are they going to go to the bathroom by themselves? When are they going to feed themselves? Come on. Same thing's true with your brand new person. Your job? Feed them, change them, do whatever. You know, keep them going. Rattle little toys in front of them. Here's the new business. Here's our new product. They're like, oh, new product. For a second. You know, they're crying again. I'm hungry. Nobody will join my business. Here's a new tool. Right? That's our job. It's crazy, but you know, we love our kids. We love our kids, so we'll do it. But it seems weird to do it to somebody who's 45. You know, it's just strange. What the heck? Okay, blue-de-loo-de-loo. If I gotta do it, I'll do it. All right. Seems weird. All right, so the baby. The first 48 hours for your team member, for your associate, for your distributor, whatever you call it in your company, are like the first month of a baby's life. The first 48 hours of their business is like the first month of a baby's life. It's up to you to make sure that they survive. Not about duplication at that point. We'll get to duplication. Now is not the time. Get out there on your own and go get them. Go make yourself a bowl of cereal, kid. Bathroom's right there. Come on. That's not the time. First 48 hours are like the first month of a baby's life. Lots of nurturing and encouragement and validation. You made the right choice. We're in the right thing together. Come on, let's go after it. Let's make it all happen, right? That's stage one. So the first 48 hours is like the first month. Lots of encouragement. The first month for your team member, your distributor, is like the baby's first 5 years. And what do you do in a child's first 5 years? You create the environment for whatever it is they're going to do in their life. Ooh, don't touch that. You're going to hurt yourself. Watch out for that. Let's focus on this. Okay, we're using our inside voice. You know? Play nice. All this stuff. We're doing the same thing. It's like the first 5 years of a baby's life is the first month where we're just kind of setting up the environment, the culture. Here's what we do here. We brush our teeth. You know, we make our bed, and we eat, and we get potty trained, and we do all the stuff. It's the first 5 years, is literally the first month. Then, the first 90 days, these time frames sound a little strange, huh? They're so fast. The little ones grow up so fast. They're here, and then they're gone. First 90 days is like the first 10 years. They start to spread a little independence, start to have a little attitude, talk back every once in a while. But mostly, you know, they're okay. They got it, first 90 days. They're still dependent on mommy and daddy. They got it, right? Then, after 6 months, they become teenagers. And then they know everything. And now you're the stupidest sponsor in the history of all sponsors. They don't want to listen to a thing you have to say. They have no respect for you. They're like, whatever, I'm not following your system. Your system's crap. My friend down the street, their sponsor's good. They give them all the candy they want. You won't give me nothing. Vegetables, vegetables, vegetables. Personal development, personal development, personal development. You haven't given me any recruits. Those other guys gave me some recruits. Such a mean mom. They get attitude. They think they're so cool. If you expect it, it's going to be fine. But if you don't, you're just going to be shocked. What happened to my cool little baby that I grew? We hugged and we kissed and we had all these times together and we had popcorn and we watched Barney and we did all these things and now they hate me. It's not you. It's not you. It's just part of their development. We just accelerated inside of our business. After about a year, 1 to 2 years, they move out of their teens and they become adults. And some of them fall back in love with their parents. And they realize maybe you weren't so stupid. You're doing your best. All right, I can question some things. The anger goes away. Some of them still have, you know, long-standing teenage stuff with their parents that they just can't get past. That's part of what we deal with. Don't expect it all to be perfect, and don't kill yourself if somebody at some point becomes a teenager and doesn't like you because they're a teenager. It's okay. It's their business. Now, all these time frames are going to change from distributor to distributor, depending on who you're bringing in. Just like from kid to kid, it'll change a little bit. You know, sometimes you have the terrible twos and sometimes you don't. My kids never really had the terrible twos. I never really got the terrible twos happening in my family, for real. Some people did. You know, maybe we just didn't expect it to happen. I don't know. Sometimes there's the crazy teenage years and sometimes there isn't. You know, it kind of depends. Those of you who had multiple kids, some of you had troubling, challenging teenagers and some of them weren't so much. Some of them were old souls and they could understand what it is that you're doing. Same thing's true in our business. I just want you to get this example of we want to first nurture and incubate and spend time with and care for and validate. And then slowly let them know that here's a success system that can work for you. And I want to help you create some boundaries to make that happen. And then as they go through this process, and even as they go through their, you never told me that part, or you never told me this, and you didn't, and you go, well, yes, I did. Well, no, you did not either. People are going to get up. Frustrated, and I will tell you, that's a moment of truth for teenagers and for parents. And you know how a lot of teenagers and parents get through that? Because they still really love each other underneath all of that. And if you really care for the people in your organization, you're going to love them even if they're spitting and mad and doing all the stuff. And wait for them. Don't close the door. Don't have that fight where it's really hard to open the door again. Don't close the door. Keep the door open. This stuff might sound obvious to you. But I will tell you, we're in a relationship business. What we do on a regular basis is we help people go from something that they were comfortable with, not happy, but comfortable in their learned helplessness. They weren't happy in their small business, but they were comfortable in their small business. They weren't happy in their corporate job, but they were comfortable in their job. They weren't happy in their sales job, but they were comfortable in their job. And we took them and we put them into something that has made them very uncomfortable, and for many of them, for the first time in a long time. And their bodies can go into shock. I might be making this more elaborate than it is, but you know what? If we create, first of all, understand the process of maturing in our business. That's really about a year to 2 years before a person understands the fundamentals, no matter what their background is. And then if we understand, build expectations, small victories fast, and over the line. If you'll do that, everything else will take care of itself. Now, again, this is one of the times where you need to resist the urge of saying, if I would have done this with my old organization, oh my goodness. All of us are going through this process. One of the biggest things you need to do as a network marketing professional and learn how to keep doing it is to forgive yourself. This is your journey. It's been your process. There's no perfect straight road to success. Forgive yourself and understand that it's an unlimited world of possibility. There are billions of people to talk to. It's not limited to the 50 that you've talked to so far. There are billions looking for opportunity that we can help. This is just part of your journey, and it's going to be the best story in the world. I can't wait to hear your story that says, you know what, I got to this point. I was stuck, I was miserable, I was unhappy. Then I forgave myself, I ripped a new page, and off I went. And you know what? I was able to go back and rescue some of those people that I screwed up with when I first started. I went back and I signed up some of the people one more time that they'd already signed up before and they quit. And now they decided to come back because I was better and they saw that they could maybe make some money with me. I'm telling you, If you could forgive yourself and move forward, that's the key. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some advanced leadership concepts for developing you as a leader and developing duplication and massive culture building throughout your entire organization. So we'll see you in a little bit. Thanks.
This concludes CD6. You are now ready for CD7, titled The Power of Personal Development. Thank you for listening to Eric Worre's Go Pro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional audio album. For more business building resources, visit networkmarketingpro.com. This audio recording is copyright protected through U.S. and international laws. No portion may be reproduced, duplicated, or distributed in any form. Thank you.